Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll praise in the valley, praise on the mountain. I'll praise when I'm sure, praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when outnumbered, praise when surrounded. 'Cause praise is the water my enemies drown in. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I'll praise when I feel it, and I'll praise when I don't. I'll praise 'cause I know you're still in control. 'Cause my praise is a weapon, it's more than a sound. My praise is the shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord. Oh my soul, praise the Lord, oh my soul. I won't be quiet, my God is alive, how can I keep it inside? Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Now it's time to make some declarations about your garment of praise. I'll praise 'cause you're sovereign, praise 'cause you reign, praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. I'll praise 'cause you're faithful, praise 'cause you're true, praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. I'll praise 'cause you're sovereign, praise 'cause you reign, praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. I'll praise 'cause you're faithful, praise 'cause you're true, praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. 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 I won't be quiet, my God is alive, how can I keep it inside? I won't be quiet, my God is alive, how can I keep it inside? I won't be quiet, my God is alive, how can I keep it inside? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, let's praise Him this morning. Praise Jesus. Oh, we praise Your name, Lord. We give You glory. Praise Your name. Oh, glory to Your name. Is He worthy of our praise? He absolutely is. Thank You, Lord. We give You praise. You give life, You are love, You bring light to the dark. darkness you give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope. Every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out praise to you, oh, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you, the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, oh. Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Oh, we pour out our praise. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy. Worthy are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Oh, great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Oh, great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Oh, Rabba Baba. Praise your name.
karyanantarai.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of hold you, the veil tore before you, you silence the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you, you silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life above. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. done. Oh, praise your name, Lord. Praise your name. Oh, what a wonderful name. Oh, thank you for the name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, you're worthy. You're worthy, Lord. Oh, you're worthy, Lord. Oh, praise your name, Lord. You are worthy. Worthy, worthy are you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Was my cross you bore, so I could live in the freedom you died for. And now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Now my shame is gone. I stand amazed in your love undeniable. Your grace goes on and on, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your heaven, as your glory fills this place, you alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heaven, as your glory fills this place, you alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heaven, as your glory fill this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heaven, as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Praise, worthy is your name. be exalted. Be exalted now in the heavens as we glow, fill this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Oh, Jesus, we lift up your name, Father. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. Kindness leads me to repentance. Your goodness draws me to your side. Your mercy calls me to be like you. Your favor is my delight. Every I'll awaken my praise and pour out a song from my heart. You are good. You are good. You are good. And your mercy is forever. You are good. You are good. Mercy is forever. Your kindness leads me to repentance. Your goodness draws me to yours. Your mercy calls me to be like you. Your favor is mine. Every day I'll awaken my praise and pour out a song from my heart. You are good. You are good. You are good. And your mercy is forever. You are good. You are good. You are good. And your mercy is forever. You are good. You are good. You are good. And your mercy is forever. You are good. You are. Your kindness is forever. Your goodness is forever. Your mercy is forever, forever. Your kindness is forever. Your goodness is forever. Your mercy is forever, forever. Your kindness is forever. Your goodness is forever. Your mercy is forever, forever. Your kindness is forever. Your goodness is forever. Your mercy is forever, forever. You are good. You are good. You are good. And your mercy is forever. You are good. You are good. You are good. And your mercy is forever. Oh, forever. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, you are good, Lord. You are good. Oh, you're good, Lord. Oh, you're good, Lord. You're good. Oh, praise your name. Father, thank you that your goodness is forever. Your kindness brings us to you. Your goodness draws us in. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your favor, Lord, that we don't deserve. We give you thanks and praise today for the abundance of your goodness to us, Lord. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Oh, has God poured out His goodness on us? Is He good all the time? He is good all the time. Some weeks ago, I shared with you a video. I actually described it, but I wanted to share it with you this morning. We don't have a 5-minute foundation for you today, but we do have a video, and I'd like to just take a minute. It's a little Christmassy, so you'll have to think of Christmas in July. Adam, if you want to bring that up and full screen that. And let's make sure, I'm not sure the computer is on, so you'll have to make sure that we got some sound.
I do have the computer about halfway.
But it's on mute. Gotta go on. Up, 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 up. Great.
Hey, Christine, you're here too. I love you.
Yes. What's happening?
Let the power work. It's gonna hit you. Go on off. Whatever you want. It's got clean water.
Oh,
Thank you.
Do you remember to give thanks for all the stuff, all the wonderful things that you have all day, every day? Isn't it incredible how much we can go through our day and not be grateful for what God has given us? Wow. And boy, we have so much more than so many people in the world today. There's just so much to be thankful for. I hope that every time I see that, I'm ringing, Pat, you'll have to put me down just a little bit. Every time I see that, it just makes me grateful all over again. Turning on a light switch. You know, thank you, Jesus. Do you know that King Solomon, with all of his possessions, could not turn on a light switch? King Solomon didn't get to take, well, maybe he took a hot shower. He probably had somebody dump it over his head. I don't know. But, you know, we have things in our lives that kings of the past never had. Are you grateful? Oh, there's so much to be grateful for. A few prayer needs today. You'll notice that Tom and Judy Brazell are not with us, and our brother Tom is preaching, somewhere. Darn it, I don't know where. But I'd like to lift him up in prayer this morning. And we're also going to pray for the Susano family. This is their last, we're bidding a final sad farewell. How did the yard sale go? Did people, good, oh good. Really good, all right. It was the perfect day to do it. I think it was like yard sale weekend or something, so. Yeah. I'm gonna ask Armenio and Kelly if you guys would come up. We want to lay hands on you and send you out with God's blessing. Armenio's kind of already been off, but Kelly is finally now going to join him, and we're gonna pray a blessing on your children. And if you'd like to come up and pray for the Susanos, I'd invite you to come up. They've been a blessing, and we've enjoyed having them for the time that they were here. Pastor Dave was not willing to let them go. I fought a little bit with this guy. I did. That's okay. But let's pray God's blessing on them where they go. They need to find a house. And you really want to find a church home. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to go to a church, but it's another to really feel like it's home. We want to pray that God plants you and has the right hold and plop you guys right in where you can
when
grow.
When are you guys moving to Oklahoma?
To talk to the Lord about that. And Father, you have blessed them, but you've blessed us with them for all this time. And Lord, we pray that you would bless them as they go. Father, I pray that you would give them safe travel with all their stuff. I pray that their things would arrive undamaged. And Lord, as they unpack and then have to pack up again, I pray that you would help them to find a nice place, a good place to live, Father, that they'll be affordable, but will be a blessing for their family. Lead them to it, Lord. Father, there's something there. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that at the right time and the right place, you would open up a door for them to find a really great place for them to live. And Father, we know it's so important to have brothers and sisters in Christ to fellowship with. Lord, we pray that you would, Lord, there's a Susano-shaped hole somewhere in a fellowship out there, Lord, where they can go right in and get planted.
Yes.
And where they can be blessed and where they can serve. Lord, I know that their heart's desire is not to just be there, but they want to serve. And Father, I pray that you would put them in just the right place. Bless their musical ministry and bless the people where they land, God. Pray that you would give them a wide space. Oh, God, we trust you for it.
We pray, Father, for good health, Lord God.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we pray for strength, Father. Lord, we pray for strength and for energy, for vitality, and for good health, Lord God, for the whole family, Lord God.
Yes.
Lord, we just lift them up to you, Father, and we pray, God, that you would help them to flourish.
Sure.
Lord, that they would be able to just enlarge their tent, Lord, spread out, Lord. Lord, we pray, Father, that you would help them to manage everything, Lord, and we pray, Father, that you would give them grace. Lord, your grace, Father, for all of the transition struggles. Lord, grace in terms of mental, emotional, and physical.
Glory, glory to
you. She's been overkilling as she's missed you for such precious little girl for me. Lord, we know that she can do this. She's had years of experience in the education field in many, many areas and many, many talents, Lord. And we just give her encouragement and grace to do this well, Lord. And just help her to know that this is going to be as difficult as she thinks it is. Give her the ability to just enjoy all the hours that she's going to spend with these girls.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
So we just pray, Lord God, just as best we pray for a church body, please, Father, where they can make good friends and feel connected, and that this process would not take a long time, but that that it would go quickly. I pray, Lord, that you would trust it again for Kelly. Not that we're excluding you, but Father, I mean, Father, but Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for your blessing and your ministry and your desire to provide mentorships for Kelly and for the women, Lord God, that she can just feel like she can just real fellowship with. And I just thank you, Father God. And Lord, again, Father God, so that you'd use them, Lord God, in their gifting, Lord God, to bless other people. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity. We thank you, Lord God, for this open door. We thank you that it's a magnificent open door. And we just pray, Lord God, that this would be just another stepping stone for what you have for them. And Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for the blessing that they've been here. And Lord God, for not just their gifts, Lord God, have been over the top encouraging, but who they are have been encouraging, Lord God. We just thank you, Father God, for the blessing of having them here. And Lord, we just pray, Lord God, just your encouragement, Lord God, and your blessing, Lord God, just encouragement, Father, for them all, Lord God, before them and after them. Father, we know that your word says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow them all the days of their life. And Lord God, we give you thanks, Father, for that.
Father, I just pray that you would anoint my brother Armenio at that college. Father, with the students, Lord, that he ministers to and teaches and conducts. And Father, I pray that the grace of God would flow out of him, that he would not only teach them music, but he would be able to disciple them, that they would use their music and their lives and their hearts to glorify God, to bring glory to the name of Jesus, that he would be able to fulfill, even in that position, your call to go and make disciples. Disciples, Lord. Father, I pray that always in the back of his mind, he would always be pointing those students to Jesus, always pointing them, always to do their best, always to make their best music, but always pointing the way to Jesus, Lord. Oh, God, that you would bring glory and give him grace, Father. I think this position is probably very difficult, very busy, many facets to it. So I pray, Father, that you would give him grace. Give him grace. Help him to be able to see his way, to be able to plan, to be able to accomplish all that he needs to and all that he wants to, and still be able to lead his family.
Yes.
love his wife and his daughters, your grace, Father, that they'd be able to hang on tight to all their priorities. Bless them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Oh, we're going to miss you. I did mention the Brazels, and I didn't want to forget to pray for them. And as you think of Tom and Judy, remember that they frequently are not here, and it's not because they're playing hooky. They're not taking a Sunday off. It means that they're usually off preaching in some church. They won't be here this week. They're gone ministering somewhere, and again next week, and the week after that. So there's a lot going on, and then please remember to lift them up. And I'm still ringing, Pat, so if you could put me down just a little bit. Ring, ring. So Father, in Jesus' name, we lift up our brother and sister Tom and Judy to you. We thank you for the wealth of ministry in their lives. And God, I pray that you would be with them as they minister both this morning and next week and the week after. Father, in Jesus' name, that you would do a wonderful thing through them, and that you would bring great encouragement to the people that they go to see. Father, I know that's how you use them. They go and they encourage people who are a little battle-weary, or sometimes a lot battle-weary. And I pray, Father, that you would help them. Give them words of counsel and spiritual insight for the places that they land, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Do also remember the family of Barb Davis, who passed away, Daryl and Denise Ordaway, Daryl's mom. Her funeral service was this past week, but please remember the family and remember to pray for them as the Lord brings them to your mind as well. Thank you, Lord. And while we're talking about that, continue to pray for the Manning family as well. We want to continue to lift them up. Bev's husband, Ron, was a great blessing, and they're going to miss him for a long time, so we're still praying for you guys. Amen. Adam, you can go ahead and bring that up. Today I would like to talk about loving God by serving others. You know, we love God by loving God, but one of the ways that we express that love is by serving his body and by serving the world. And, you know, I tell you, I struggled a little with this message because we have a church where a lot of people do a lot of stuff. So it feels like preaching to the choir. But this is what the Lord told me to share, so I'm going to share it. And if the Lord highlights something in your heart or in your mind this morning that can help you to be a better servant, one thing I've discovered I've taught now for 25 years, and I'm constantly finding ways to do it better. And people are like, oh, you've been teaching all these years, you know what you're doing. And some days I go in and I think, I don't know what I'm doing today. It's like, or how can I do it better? Well, it's a very important thing. I'd like to start out, I got my thing. I'd like to start out with 1 Peter 4:10. And I'm starting with a New Living Translation, and I sometimes don't like this translation. I got saved on the King James, and for a while I thought the King James was the Bible, and I found out pretty quickly, no, it's just another translation. The New Living Translation sometimes puts things in a simpler way. It says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve yourself. Uh-oh. Have you met any Christians that it kind of behave that way, though? I hate to say it. I've seen pastors that seem to behave that way. I don't want to judge people, but it sometimes it feels that way. Use them well to serve one another. While we were away, in New Jersey for a while this week, in the evening, I did something I don't do very often. I don't ever do. I turned on the TV, and in some ways I was sorry because I got reacquainted with the lovely thing called commercials. But I endured a few of the commercials. I watched not a real old movie, but an older movie about this guy. He's a mastermind. And what he does is he has a problem with this casino owner, this evil casino owner who's kind of amassed a fortune taking advantage of people, and he's kind of stolen this guy's wife. So he's not happy. So this guy, he masterminds a whole plan. It's kind of like Mission Impossible. And he gets all these people who are specialists. He gets this guy who is a safe cracker, who knows how to use explosives in just the right way, and he's like the best in his field. And he finds an acrobat, this little guy who can flip through the air and evade all the lasers, and a technology. Of course, they have to have the technology guy who can hack into anything, and hacks into the cameras and the computers, and redirects all the phone calls, and then the electronic specialist who sets off an EMP and electromagnetic pulse and wipes out all the power to the area, and the film specialist who can fake a movie of something so that they see something but it's not really there, and the con man who can sell you the Brooklyn Bridge and make you feel like you got a good deal, and the stuntman who'd swing down from the cables. Anyway, he's got all these specialized people, and he puts them in place here and there. He takes a while and sets them in place. And then as it goes, they combine all of their talents, and the mastermind would say, okay, now you're up. And this one guy would go, and he'd cut the cameras, and he'd say, okay, you're up. And this other guy would go, and he'd be talking to the bad guy, and then somebody else would blow the power, thing after thing, specialized thing, and as they did them, if just one of those things failed, if it didn't happen just right, the whole thing falls apart and they all get caught and they all go off to jail or some horrible thing happens to them. But of course nothing goes wrong. It's a movie. But as a pastor I tend to spiritualize things, and I looked at that and I thought, this is how the body of Christ is supposed to work. Well, not robbing banks, but we don't pool our things to do evil, but isn't it how the body of Christ should work? Everybody has a gift or a calling, but they're all completely different. The goal in that movie could never have been accomplished if they had the stunt guy try to blow the safe, or if they had the acrobat try to hack the camera. No. It has to be everybody using their gift in concert. And then when they do that, then the whole machine works together in the right way. Only not robbing banks. And it takes every part of the body of Christ to make it function. So in the NIV, that verse, 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms, or as said, God's multifaceted grace. And what that literally means is that the body of Christ is multifaceted. Denny plays the bass better than I do. Yeah, and Luann organizes fellowships. Well, you wouldn't want to come to my fellowship. Well, I don't do that as well. But people have different gifts and different abilities. Curtis can sell insurance or brokerage and run a hardware store. Guess what I couldn't do? We would run out of everything. But Curtis, he has an administrative gift. People have their gifts. Jeannie runs the office. Bam, bam, bam. Things, it just happens. And I stay out of Jeannie's way because Jeannie doesn't need any help from me. We have a lot of service opportunities in our church, and I'm just gonna tick them off. And so many of you are already involved in so many of these things, but I want to just highlight them to you. Nursery, children's church. But Pastor Dave, we don't have very many kids. Yeah, well, we do. He that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful in much. Today we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 kids. God bless Kathy Dunham. But we don't always have that many. Some weeks we don't have any. But if we're faithful to minister to the ones that are there, then there's the possibility to add more. And maybe God would have you to be involved in the nursery or in children's church. We have technology. Oh, do we need help in technology? And we're getting it. People are helping. But there's sound, there's presentation, TVs. We have Pro Presenter. I'd love to train some more people on that. And if it sounds big and scary, what you do is you sit in the back and look at the computer screen and go click, 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 click. It's really hard. You know, a trained monkey. Click, click. You just have to pay attention and click to the next frame. It's pretty easy. Programming is a different thing, but I do a lot of that, and I'm happy to teach some people to do that too. But if you're interested in that, there is a place for you. Music. We're always interested in people's musical gifts, but it's where we're a little picky. I hate to say that, but you know it needs to be your gift. I know one lady that came and she said, she went to a different church and she said, we've had our choir and we have this one girl and she really can't sing at all. She can't sing, but she sings really loud and we just are so happy. She's giving her best to the Lord. I would say if she can't sing, she's not giving her best to the Lord. Maybe she needs to be helping in the nursery or maybe somewhere else. You know, it's just that it needs to be your gift. But don't be afraid to ask. Greeters, they're the first line of people that smile and say hi to people in the back as they come in. That's a big deal. How many of you like to see a friendly face when you come in? It's lovely to have somebody come in and say hi. This morning you got to see Roxanne. There she was. Communion, Judy would love to have people help you with communion, to help us with communion, and then you only have to do it like, if we have enough people, you only do it like what every 5 or 6 months or 7 or 8 if we get a lot of people. But communion doesn't commute itself. Someone has to commute the communion. Fellowships. There's a lot that goes on. We've got a coffee fellowship today, and that meant people had to come and set up. And the best part of the fellowships is if you get to help clean up at the end. Yay! You know, at the end of the fellowship, people tend to go, yay, we're done, and they go out the door, and it's like there's like two ladies, and they're like, oh, no. So helping with that. We got our picnic coming up, and there'll be tables to set up and to take down. And lots and lots of cleanup in the kitchen. So it's just a wonderful opportunity to serve. And when you do that, you're serving Jesus when you serve your brothers and sisters. That's a big deal. As we go and these events come up, we're going to pass around lists and you can sign up to serve in that way, to serve the body of Christ. Outreach. And this is a wide open thing, but this is one everybody can do. When you see visitors show up at church who haven't been here before, please don't descend upon them like vultures, but go over and say hi. Introduce yourself. When you see somebody, have some tunnel vision. Have your antenna up. Say, ooh, somebody's new here today. Go over and say hi. Introduce yourself. Ask them questions about themselves. Find out who they are, what they like. Maybe you might even feel led to invite them home after church or take them out to lunch or something. Who knows? Get to know them. When you're in the community, invite people to church. We've got a street outreach this weekend. This Saturday, the sidewalk sale, the churches are coming together again, and Pastor Dave's going to be down on the street twisting balloon animals. You know what I can't do is blow up 50,000 of these little balloons. Mamma mia. I mean, I can twist them, but if I... And last year, oh my gosh, my wife helped me pre-blow up some the night before, and we went down and they were gone like that. So if anybody can come and just whoop, 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 with a little hand pump and help blow up balloons, I'll do the twisting, unless there's somebody out here else who knows how to twist balloon animals. Anybody else know how to twist balloon animals? it looks like it's going to be me. Prayer ministry. We have ladies that gather here, not just late. It doesn't have to be just ladies, but 9:45 usually is that they come and they gather here and pray, and they walk and they pray over every chair. They pray over the instruments, and then they often go in the prayer room and they're praying before the service. Anybody is welcome to come and pray. Avail yourself of that. Hospitality. You know, sometimes we send meals home to someone when they come home from the hospital, have a baby. People that are in the hospital need a visit. Or as we said before, you could even invite people to your house for a meal. Get to know them. Get to encourage them. Get to pray for them. Feed them. All kinds of things there. And lastly, Kathy Dunham is going at it with Operation Christmas Child. I told her she could put her stuff in the pastor's office in the back. It's turned into a toy store. I mean, it's July, and I can't believe how much stuff she already has. Oh, man. We could start packing boxes now. Maybe we should. Christmas in July. Maybe I should suggest we could pre-pack some now. Pack, and then pack now and pack later. Yeah. So, and I'm sure there are other areas of service in the church. If you want to, if you feel like, wow, I really want to do more, the Lord's speaking to me, it's a wide open thing. I want to take just a few minutes today, though, and look into how we can, from a scriptural standpoint, serve one another, whatever it takes. And I'd like to look at Luke chapter 10, and I did happen to put it all up here. It's four screens, but this is an important story, and it's a familiar one. And you probably all know it, but I'd like to go through this a step at a time. Luke 10, 25 through 37. And behold, a lawyer stood up and put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How does it read?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied and said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he encountered robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead." I'm not sure what half dead means, but it sounds bad. "And by coincidence, a priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed around on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands. And he said, the one who showed compassion on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do the same. A lawyer came to Jesus. This is an expert in the law, but he's a lawyer. And he seemed at the beginning to want to know how to have eternal life. He seemed sincere. But then as the story goes on, or it's not a story, as the account goes on, we see he just wants to find a way around his responsibility. Wait, who's my neighbor? He's looking for a pass, a way to get by. Who is my neighbor? You know, I heard a story of a man who woke up in the hospital. He was very sick, and he told the doctor, he said, just tell me plainly, how much longer am I going to live? And the doctor said, you're probably not going to live through the night. And he said, oh, quick, call my lawyers. So the couple lawyers came in, and the man had one lawyer stand on one side of his bed, and he had another lawyer stand on the other side of his bed. Then he just laid back and closed his eyes. And the doctor came in and said, what are you getting at here? And he said, well, I figure if I'm only going to live through the night, I better do what Jesus did and die with a thief on either side of me. Oh, boy. The lawyer in Jesus' account was trying to use a very narrow definition of a neighbor. Just the people who are like me. The people I like, the people in my house, the people in my neighborhood. You know, who's really, just these people. You know, lawyers like to play with definitions of words a lot. I think if we look into this account, though, we're going to find five requirements or conditions or aspects for serving others. And number one is consciousness. The first step in serving others is to develop an awareness of the needs of other people around you. It's really important to be sensitive to other people's needs. You know, in our life, sometimes we get so busy and so tied up with our own life that we don't notice people around us. I've been in prayer meetings where we're praying for the sick and we're praying for people in the church, and somebody in the prayer meeting is sounds like they're about to die, they're coughing, or they're obviously not well, and I wait and nobody prays for them. Like, we got somebody right here. I haven't noticed that here in this church for quite a while. Let me put a misnomer out on that. But it's important to have a sense of the need. You'll notice that all three of the people in this account were aware of the man alongside the road. The road to Jericho was this windy, narrow kind of road. It was a descent of about 3,500 feet over 17 miles. And it was a known place where robbers could hide. And they'd hang out and hide there. And then when people walked along the road, they'd just jump out and steal their stuff. So all three of these men were looking around for their surroundings. They had their antenna out. Nobody wanted to get robbed on that road. And, you know, but it's not always easy to see the needs of people around us. Physical needs are kind of easy to pick out if you see people that has one. But other needs, emotional, spiritual needs, they can be a little harder to discern. But unfortunately, only one man stopped to help. The other two had religious reasons why they couldn't. Do you know that they both, the priest and the Levite, had reasons why they couldn't stop and help that man? If the priest or the Levite stopped and helped him, well, he's beaten up, he's bloody, he's dirty, and once they stop to help him, they are now ceremonially unclean. And they have to go through a cleansing ritual in the temple, and they can't perform their duties. And so, oh, I cannot help this man. I am clean. So they use a religious reason to get around things. You know, I've seen people in need sometimes, and sometimes I've been like, oh, I can't stop now. I've got to get here. I've got so much to do. Well, but I dare say, you know, before I'm tempted to condemn those two men, I remember that sometimes I fail to get involved too. Which brings us to the second step in this, and that's compassion. Verse 33, when he saw him, he felt compassion. The word translated compassion there is used 11 other times in the New Testament. And twice it describes God's compassion towards sinners, and about 9 other times it's used for Jesus feeling compassion toward people when he was praying for them to be healed. And that's really what compassion is about, seeing someone else with a need and being willing to help the person, not because they deserve it, but because God has put us in a position to help. True compassion isn't an emotional feeling. It's a decision. You just have to decide. You're there. It's the right time. You're going to help somebody. I can help them. I can do that. And here's where the lawyer was wrong. See, he only wanted to be a neighbor to the people that he liked or who were like him. And that was it. He didn't want to have contact with other people. Do you know what I mean by other people? If you do, then you may have a problem like I do. I find it hard sometimes to get a little out of my own comfort zone and minister to people who are really different from me. I have been in situations where I had to minister to homosexuals. I found it very uncomfortable. I've had to minister to people who smelled really, really bad. Really bad. Are you willing? Which brings us to the next part, contact. So that Samaritan saw the need, he felt compassion, but now the really important thing, he was willing to have contact with this guy. He went to him. He came to, the scripture says he came to him. You know, I often feel compassion and I see needs and feel bad about it, but there's a next step, and that's to make contact with people. That's to actually be willing. The Samaritan had to be willing to get dirty and bloody, to help this guy. And who was the guy? The guy was his enemy. He wasn't his friend. The Samaritans and the Jews weren't just like disagreeing parties. They hated each other. They hated each other. The Samaritans and the Jews, they were not having anything to do with each other. So it was a big deal for this Samaritan to go over and help that Jewish man. He wasn't supposed to come near him. You know, Jesus often made contact with people. A leprous man, how many of you want to lay hands on a leper? Woo! Two blind men, a deaf and dumb man, had to spit in his eyes. A dead man. How about when Peter cuts off the ear of the high priest's servant? Jesus, I'm not sure what happened there. Did he like pick up the ear and go, I don't know. It doesn't really say, but there was some contact there. Jesus ministered to many other people that people wanted to stay away from. Think about the woman caught in adultery. You know, to be associated with her. I mean, it's one thing to be around her, but then to go over and talk to her, forgive her, comfort her, send her on her way after all the people wanted to stone her. Whoa, how about demon-possessed people who are kicking and flailing and foaming at the mouth on the ground? How many of you want to run over to them? Oh, yeah, let's go. How about ministering to the prostitutes? Yikes. Jesus did all those things. Contact is so important. And so that could be a homosexual, a homeless person, a Muslim, or a liberal. Yeah. In 1945, a Dr. Spitz compared children in a regular orphanage with children in a prison orphanage. And I don't have the clinical study that she did. I don't know if they recorded that back in 1945. There was just notes on it. But in the regular orphanage, the children were bathed, clothed, they were fed, they were taken care of, but there was no time beyond that for interaction with the kids. They weren't interacted with beyond that with the caregivers. They were basically left alone. They were clothed, their needs were met, they had their medicines, they were clean, they were well fed, but then they were left alone. Now in the prison, the children had a common room where their mothers, who were convicts, you know, but there was this big room with other kids. They had toys, lots of germs. It was probably a really dirty place. And interestingly enough, in the regular orphanage, 23 of the 88 children in the regular orphanage died from sickness, infection, and the ones that didn't, many of them suffered mental and developmental problems. In the prison orphanage, none of the children died. Do you see how important contact is? See, they had contact with their moms. They had contact with other kids. They had physical touch. Contact is so important for people. People need interaction. Some people are just dying for somebody to take an interest in them. You know, before I preach the gospel to people sometimes, I want to get to know them. Hi, how are you? You're having a bad day. Talk to them. Have some interaction. Get to know them. And then share with them. In school, we're told over and over, kids don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And boy, that is the truth. People want to know that you care about them, and contact is so important. It's vital. And then care. Verse 34, he bandaged up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. He took care of the direct needs of the man. He met the need. And, you know, this can be a little tricky because we can't meet everybody's needs. You can't meet everybody's needs. But you can be led by the Holy Spirit to be a link in the chain of help that somebody needs in Jesus' name. You may not be able to fulfill all their needs. It may not be beneficial for you or them if you try to jump in and fulfill all of their needs or help them or bail them out. You may find yourself in a mess. But we can help in Jesus' name and be a link in the chain of help for them to move on. Being willing to actually do it. And then number 5, the cost. There was a cost here. It says that he took out 2 denarii. That was 2 days' wages. 2 full days' wages in that time. Shelled him out, took the guy on his own animal. He took was the cost of him having to pour in his own oil and wine, bandaged the guy up, travel with him to a donkey, get him to an inn, and then he tells the guy, take care of him, and when I come back, any other expenses, I'll help cover that. All for his enemy. The person he was supposed to hate. Yeah, there were costs here of his time, his effort, his money, his resources. And serving others is going to cost you your time. It may cost you your emotions. It may cost you your money. It's not cheap to love people. But is it worth it? It is absolutely worth it. And sometimes the way to reach people for Christ is to reach their needs in Jesus' name. Minister to where... Isn't that what Samaritan's Purse does? They look throughout the world and they find where some disaster has fallen, and then in Jesus' name they go in and they start meeting the needs. And they transform situations because of what they do. The robbers in this, in the beginning, they said, "Everything you have is mine and I'll do whatever I need to take it." The priest and the Levite said, "Everything I have is mine and I'll do whatever it takes to keep it." But the Samaritan said, "Everything I have is God's and I'm willing to do what I can to help meet your needs." Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that you would help us first to be sensitive to the needs of people around us. And Lord, I thank you that so many of the brothers and sisters gathered here today do have that heart. I pray that you would sensitize our hearts, Lord, to be aware of people's needs, that we would be willing to connect and contact with them and to care for them. Father, and even to be willing to pay the cost, whatever that might be, that we would love unconditionally and be bringers of grace. Lord, where we know we're called to preach the gospel, sometimes we are called first to meet people's needs in Jesus' name and then show the love of God to them in very tangible ways. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be ones who serve each other, who serve the body here and are willing to serve others in our community in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that you would open up those avenues so that we'd be able to bring the gospel to people that don't know it yet. Help us to love people well. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If you are here today and you have a need, someone will be here to pray for you, body, soul, or spirit. And otherwise, I hope you can stay for a few minutes and have some coffee and say hi and bye to the Susanos and to the rest of the folks here. God bless you. I hope you have a great week. If you want prayer, please feel free to come up.
Balloon blower upper. But I'm not sure if it's just helium because we blew up the balloons for the...